If you have a Bible today, Psalm 148. Psalm 148. And we'll just look at a portion of Scripture, just part of a verse. Psalm 148 and verse 8. The Bible says, the latter part of that verse, stormy wind fulfilling his word. It's an interesting verse. Stormy wind fulfilling his word. God's providence is evident in our lives, and he makes all things work together for good to them that love God. And let's bow our heads and ask his blessing on our service. Father, we love you. We trust you. We commit our lives to you, and thank you for our eternal life. Thank you one day we'll be with you forever. Thank you for all the promises, all the help. No matter what the storms of life bring, Lord, we know that you control everything. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now, encourage us, and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever been in a storm? That's a dumb question. We've all been in storms, some worse than others. I've been in some bad ones, but one that I think of, I was preaching up in mid-Michigan in the winter, and we were done with our service, and it was at night, and we started home in the middle of a bad snowstorm. I don't know if you remember that, but we're coming down, and you had to keep the car going. I went through a red light. I went through a stop sign. The closer we got to the house, praise God, I had a garage door opener, and as we were coming on, I'm hitting it, hurry up, you know, hurry up. I wanted to make sure it opened because I had to go up my drive, and it was an amazing thing. The garage door opened, I pulled in, and man, my knuckles were white, you know, as white as the snow, but once I got inside that garage, I was safe. The storm was raging out there, but I was safe in there. It had a whole different feeling. And sometimes God does that for us. You know, we're in a storm and he just blesses. It was a lot better being inside than outside in the storm. They're still scary. We make preparation for the storms. You may have a plan at your house for the children or even for yourselves. This is what we'll do if there's a tornado warning or something like that. Down in the basement, you have enough supplies for 2 years. You know, you have 18 gallons of water and all kinds of food. So just in case everything comes in on you and you're there for a while. But we make plans, right? Because we want to be prepared. We have a drill that we go through. Okay, this is what we're going to do if this happens or that happens. But we're ready. And then you think you're ready for anything, and then it's a surprise. Sometimes it's not the storm you thought it was going to be, and sometimes it's worse than you thought it was going to be. But we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about this. Stormy wind fulfilling his word. That's an interesting, interesting text. Amen? And when you think of stormy winds, I think of hurricanes. I think of tornadoes. I think of cyclones. There's some other names for it. But in nature, they're very destructive. And so we think about that. How could God use something like that for his glory? Remember, he's the creator. He created, I think I brought a message here on dew, the dew on the ground. It's a real miracle how God does that. And, you know, he controls the sun. He controls everything, all of nature. And he certainly controls the storms. In Psalm 107, verse 25, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. The wind has an effect on the waves. And God's word has an effect on the wind. And you back everything up and you always end up with God. Amen? And so he's using all things together for his good. In Matthew chapter 8, the disciples were in the middle of a storm with him, and he said, peace be still. You're probably familiar with that. We'll look at Mark chapter 4 in a minute. It's another rendition of that same story. But here it says, But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And as we go through the scriptures today, as we look at these different verses, you're going to see this stormy wind fulfilling his word over and over and over and over. And it's a picture of the storms of life and how over and over and over, God is our refuge. And we can run to him. We can be safe. What's the rock of ages cleft for me? Let me hide my soul in thee. In Psalm 55 and verse 8, the psalmist said, "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." I'm out of here, right? A little later in that same chapter, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." Yeah, that'd be a blessing. I don't think I'd want to be a storm chaser, you know? Oh, there's a tornado. Let's go see what it looks like close up. You know, no, I want to go the other direction. "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I'd fly away and be at rest." But a dove is a picture of the Holy Spirit. So there is a way to fly away and be at rest in here. And that's the Holy Spirit that brings peace to our souls. And we can escape that stormy wind. Song of Solomon 4:16. "Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out." It takes both winds. It takes the north wind and the south wind to produce those things. And God knows that in our lives too. The wind scatters the seed. It just scatters it everywhere. The wind strengthens the root of the tree. The wind sets the sail and it can move that ship. The wind spreads the pollen, all the things that the wind does. Sometimes, and the ladies have more trouble with this than the men, but you get out in the wind. I love on a windy Sunday morning to stand at the door and watch the ladies come in. And their hair is all over the place, you know. And it's just fun. And then when they come through the door, you make this statement like, "Oh, love your hair." And sometimes you get laughter. Sometimes there's no laughter there at all because the woman's hair is her glory. But anyway, you see that, how the wind blows. And sometimes you get irritated with that wind. But there's a purpose in it. There's a purpose in that wind. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul's on a prison ship going to Rome. He's going to be tried there. And they want to sail, and Paul says, "No, you better not sail." He's warning the people, don't sail. Well, who is he? He's not the captain of the ship. He's not the owner of the ship. You know, he's a prisoner. We're not going to listen to him. But it says in verse 13, "And when the south wind blew softly," just that nice breeze, you know, circumstances are really good. Everybody's happy. You know, we know where we're going. "When the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." So they've taken off. That's 27:13. 28:13, it's a whole chapter later, and I'll get to the guts of this in a minute, what's inside. But it says, "And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium, and after one day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli." So here's the south wind. Let's take our trip. The trip's over. Here's the south wind. We're doing okay. But in between that, in chapter 27 and verse 14, it says, "But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." There's a purpose for this wind. Because the stormy wind fulfills the word of God, fulfills his will. Paul is there. He said, don't sail. They should have listened to him, but they're in a storm. They're throwing everything overboard. Nothing is important now. All the goods we're going to make money on, all the transport, throw it overboard. Lighten the ship. So they do that. Paul goes down to the midst of the ship, and he's praying. And he comes up, and he says, in the middle of a storm, "Be of good cheer. God said nobody's going to lose their life, and I believe that it shall be even as it was told me." And they're looking at him, and they're looking at the storm, but that's exactly what they did. They listened. They started listening to Paul. And they stayed on the ship. He said, you better stay on the ship. Don't put the lifeboats in. Just cut everything free. God said, nobody's going to die. I believe God. Amen? So there was a real revelation of God's word from God's man. They should have listened to the Apostle Paul, but they didn't. So now in the storm, okay, who can we trust? And they're listening to him because he listened to God. So there was a purpose in that. Amen? It strengthened their faith. Stormy wind fulfilling his word. We read in the Bible about a man by the name of Jonah. Remember Jonah? Jonah had the fleas. You know? And he did. He had the fleas. It's in the Bible. He fled. Anyway. So God says, Jonah, you're my prophet. Go to Nineveh and preach. And Jonah says, I ain't going to Nineveh. They're our enemies. I'm going the opposite way. So he got on a ship and he went the opposite direction. Ah, big storm comes up. Big storm. And God was in the storm, obviously. It says in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. There's four chapters in the book of Jonah. If you read through those later, God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. God prepared a gourd. God prepared a worm to eat the gourd. God prepared a vehement east wind. He's doing all of this, and the book of Jonah has an amazing story in it. Stormy wind fulfilling his word. Here's Jonah. He's on the ship. He's asleep. You know, man, I know I'm in trouble. I'm going the wrong direction. And listen, guys, just throw me overboard and there'll be a calm. That's what they did. They threw him overboard and there was a calm. That was Jonah's God that did that. And they were idolaters. What a picture for them. Amen? What a picture for the people around us when there's a great storm and we trust in the Lord. It's a real testimony for the Lord. And you know the rest of the story. There was a purpose in that story. Take your Bibles, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We'll read some verses here. And I've got 2 hours, so this is great. Amen. A lot of background here. Amen. Remember, love our visitors. Love our visitors. Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. This is the Lord speaking to his disciples. We're going to the other side. Okay, no matter what happens now before we get to the other side, we know we're going to the other side. I like the eternal security of a believer. Amen? I like that. God promised us eternal life. We believe in Christ. We accept him as Savior. We have eternal life. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We know that. Amen? So it doesn't matter what storm there is, and there are storms in life, we know we're going to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. It didn't bother him at all. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Have you ever been in a storm since you've been saved and say, God, don't you care? And maybe you haven't said it out loud, but you feel it. God, why? 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 We ask that question all the time. God has a purpose in the stormy wind. Amen? We might not see it at the time. Don't you care if we perish? He's asleep. Go back to what he said. We're going to the other side. Paul comes up, be of good cheer. I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. Believe that. Amen? Nobody's going to lose their life. And so he makes all of these promises to us in the midst of the storm. And our faith is real when in the midst of the storm we can trust him. So it goes on here. They said, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto them, see, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Between the great storm and the great calm was the Lord's word. It's a word of comfort, the comfort of the scriptures, the promises that give us hope. And it says, and he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side. That's what he said. Amen. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. We can trust his promises. He cares for us. He cares for us. And if he says the stormy wind will fulfill his word, bring the wind. Amen. Because we want the will of God done in our lives. Look back at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, there's all kinds of illustrations in the Bible about this. But look at chapter 7. We'll begin reading in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. Other foundation can no man lay which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He is the rock. That rock was Christ. Our life is built on Christ. The storms come, we stand firm. But it goes on and says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The exact same storm, exact same wording, falls on the person who's on the rock, falls on the person who's on the sand. The one on the rock stood firm. Amen? These are principles. This is the inspired word of God. The storms of life prove the strength of our anchor. Our anchor holds both sure and steadfast. Hebrews 6:19. There's a song, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. Amen. It's hard to do in the storm. But that's where our faith is. When the storm comes, we know that he's there. Here's Peter. Lord, if that's you, bid me come unto you. Here's waves and all this stuff. Peter jumps out of a boat and walks on water. And Jack, I've told people this. I have walked on water. I really have. I've walked on water in the winter. It all freezes and gets solid. And I just walk right on water. Amen? Great. Great, great, great. Anyway, Peter, he's walking on water, and he gets his eyes off of the Lord, and he gets it on the winds and the wave, and guess what? He begins to sink. It's not the end of the story. Lord, save me. Immediately, the Lord reaches out his hand and pulls him up. I mean, over and over and over and over, you have these stories. Lois Evans writes, the eagle does not escape the storm. It simply uses the storm to lift it higher. In fact, it rises on the very winds that bring the storm. Don't you hate when somebody tells you that? Oh, all things work together. There's times to use some of these Bible verses, you know, and there's times just to have compassion and pray with people and love people. But it's still true. It's still true. We know that God does something in our lives because of that. Coker wrote, I encourage you to be strong and learn from your storm so that when you come out, you will be able to encourage someone else going through a storm. You can help people. He's the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. He's the God of all comfort, comforts us in all our tribulation. It says, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We've been through the storm. This is what God used it for. God brought us through. God helped us. God sustained us. And you can minister to people like that. It's a blessing. The storms of life can make you better, or they can make you bitter. And sometimes we look back on something that happened in our life and we get bitter. But God can bring us through that so we can help somebody on the other side. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Well, if there's bitterness in us, it's going to trouble people, trouble other people. If we learn from the storm, we can minister to other people. And that's what we want to do, amen? Minister to other people. Did you ever watch a weather channel, or, you know, maybe you're a weather junkie and you're checking it all the time? I check it maybe once a week. My wife is laughing. I'm on that, especially with the work day. Oh, I hope it doesn't snow, you know, anyway. Did you ever watch and see, okay, here's where the hurricane's coming, or here's where the tornado's coming, or it's coming right at us, you know, and then at the last minute, it turns, and it misses you, and you say, praise the Lord. What about the people that the tornado turned into? Amen? Well, hey, every man's on his own, man, you know. At least we're not in trouble, right? I don't know. Maybe you've not said that, but, you know, well, if it happens to you, yeah, that's God's will, you know. But what about those in the other direction? Better you than me. Hebrews 13:3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being also yourselves in the body. The Ukraine fiasco is close to my wife and I, our hearts, because we know men there. We trained men for the ministry that have gone there. We've done missions work there in the Ukraine. And we think about those people. Well, that, praise God, that's not here. Yeah, but it's there. And these people are losing their children, their husbands, their wives, all their possessions. And we grieve with them. We feel that loss because they're close to us. We come here to the States and we come to a family and we look at our family. We look at our church and the friends in our church, and someone's out sick or this one's having a struggle here. And that affects us. Maybe the winds aren't blowing on us, but the winds are blowing on somebody else. Maybe the storm has changed direction for us, but it has only changed direction for somebody else. And so God gives us the opportunity to comfort one another, love one another, pray one for another. Amen? Because we're not in the storm. What is it in Galatians 6:1? If any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Because you're not above anything. I mean, we could be flat on our face tomorrow. Our faith could get weak. These were the disciples, and Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? Well, they were following him. They saw his miracles. But they got into one situation. Don't you care? Don't you? Have that ever happened? One day your faith is so strong, and the next day you wonder, man, do I even know the Lord? We ought to pray one for another. Amen? We should either be comforted or be comforting. We should either be being prayed for or praying for somebody. Because that trial is going to come our way. That storm is going to come our way. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, Esther the queen, what a marvelous story of the providence of God. How did that ever happen? But it says when all the Jews were going to be killed by that sinister Mordecai. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this, not wasn't Mordecai, it was Haman. Mordecai was the good guy. Boy, I'm glad I straightened that out. Amen. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? All the Jews are going to be killed. Well, they ain't going to get me. But if I go in and ask petition of the king and I'm not called, and he doesn't hold out the scepter, I'll be put to death. It's my life. It's gone. And I'm dressed in jewels, and I eat well, and I'm in a position of power, and everything's going my way. But maybe I've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Sometimes God blesses one in a different way than he blesses another. Sometimes the riches of this world aren't the riches of Christ. Nothing wrong with the riches of this world. Praise God for it. We're all blessed in different ways. Amen. Some have family, wonderful families. Some have very difficult families. We're all like this. But maybe God has brought you into contact with somebody, into a church, into a family, into a job, for such a time as this. Amen. Where you may have to risk something to be a blessing to the whole. God puts us in those places sometimes. Spiritual storms. May we share our shelter. May we share our comfort. May we share what God is doing in our life. Proverbs 20 and verse 4, I had this in my message, and I've had my message for several days, but the snow came on work day, and I know some people couldn't come because of that. But it does say this. I need to give you this, so this isn't for you if you didn't come because of the snow. Amen. Maybe it is for you that didn't come because of the snow, but I'm kidding. Amen. Did I spend enough time on that? Okay. Proverbs 24, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. It is in the Bible. Amen. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. And it goes on, Proverbs 26, 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. We have to weather the storm. We have to be out in the storm so that we can do the work of God. A lot of God's work is done in the storm. Amen? And if we weather that storm, if we're prepared for that storm, if we suffer through that storm. You ever been driving down the road and there's a blizzard and somebody's car's off on the side? Glad that ain't me. Maybe somebody needs a ride. Amen? Maybe somebody needs help. We're all in a storm at one time or another. The rainbow follows the storm and the darkness. It thus symbolizes the truth that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The rainbow. You're all familiar with the rainbow. It was God's promise after the flood that there would be no more floods. Amen? It was his promise. It's the rainbow. We believe that. The flood was the biggest storm the world's known. That was a storm of great proportions, but thank God for the ark. Listen to these verses. Genesis 7:11. The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Who opened them? God did. Because of the prophecy, because God was going to accomplish something there. And so the windows of heaven were opened. That's 7:11. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 12. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Man, that's some storm. And all of the water was coming this way and water's coming this way. And it's just rising like that. You have in verse 16, Noah and his family are in the ark. And the Bible says, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord closed that door. And not only shut him in, but shut other people out. But they were safe in that ark during that storm. In chapter 8 and verse 2, this is after the flood. The fountains also of the deep and the fountains and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. Who did that? God did it. Stormy wind fulfilling his word. He breaks up all the fountains of the deep. All the water comes from heaven. And then he says, I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. And he restrains them and he shuts those spigots off. Amen? God's able to do that. In Psalm 76 and verse 10, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. Thou shalt hold back. Thou shalt limit or stop. Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. It's a wicked world. It is a wicked world. We could spend a lot of time on that. Just suffice it to say, and you read through your Bibles, you know that. In Noah's day, the imagination of their hearts was only evil continually. And so it was all this sin, and God sent the flood. But the flood wasn't the end. The flood was the destruction of that sin. And then Noah and his family came out on the other side. Here's the rainbow. It's not going to happen again. As it was in the days of Noah. So there's a promise to us. What is the promise? It's more than the rainbow. Amen? But God made a promise to us. We have in Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He's being warned of something that he hasn't seen yet. But God gave the warning. Matthew 24. I mean, there's so many verses in the Bible that warn us about what's coming. But it's not here just yet. It says, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He moved with fear, reverence, obedience to God. He says, okay, I'll build the ark to the saving of his household because God said a flood was coming. Judgment is coming on the earth. Amen? It's not going to get better and better. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And you see what's going to happen from the scriptures. But we believe what God said, and now's the time to get people into the ark. Amen? Get them to Christ. Get them to that safe place. 1 Peter 3:20, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. The long-suffering of God. Thank God for that. If it was up to me, if I was just the only person, well, no, that wouldn't fit either. But if I was just concerned with myself, come right now, Lord. Come right now. And the Lord says, I can't come right now because there's others that need to get in. Amen? There's other people that need to be saved. And there's a lot in the Bible about that. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. But he's coming soon. We don't know that day. 1 Peter 3:20. 2 Peter 2:5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, why did that happen? Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but it's not just that. In Genesis 6:8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We are saved by grace. Amen. Judgment is not going to overtake us. We have an ark. We have a resting place. We have a hiding place. We have a shelter from the storm. And though the storm destroyed the whole earth, the whole world, all the living creatures, Noah was safe inside. Jesus Christ is our ark. We have the promises of God in the Bible that's going to take place. Amen? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Knowing this first, let me just say, there's a coming storm. It's coming, and we know that from the scripture, but there's an ark waiting for people to get in before that storm really lets loose. But there's also people back in Noah's day, they mocked him. Can you imagine building an ark on dry land? How are you going to get it in the water? And where's the water? How far away is the water? And you've been doing this how long? You know, old crazy Noah up there. No doubt they mocked him. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that in the last days there shall come scoffers walking after their own lusts, in verse 4, saying, where is the promise of his coming? As it was in the days of Noah, come on, when's a storm coming? When's it going to? Where is the promise of his coming? Scoffers, mockers. But not only did Noah's preaching and his actions save his family, it was a testimony against the whole world because he believed God and he believed in a coming judgment. People laugh at that now. They laugh at a coming judgment. They laugh at damnation. They laugh at all those Bible terms. One day we're going to heaven. Amen. And if you're in that ark, Christ in you, you in Christ, the hope of glory, you're going to be free from that storm. That is a blessing. There's one other verse I'll use and then I'll be done. Genesis 6:3. God said before the flood came, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God was speaking, come on, come to me, get in the ark, you know, turn around, accept me. My spirit shall not always strive with man. We're born of the spirit. And when that is refused, one day there's no more opportunity. I trust that you know the Lord today. And if you don't, accept him as your Savior. That'd be such a blessing. Some people are going to see the rain, but some people are going to see the rainbow. Amen? We're going to see the promise on the other side fulfilled. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we're so grateful for your word. It's such a fascinating book. Prophecy, practicality, comfort. It cleans our soul. It cleans our mind. It gives us faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's so precious to us. It's full of your promises. And Father, I pray that as believers, we don't know when the next storm is coming, and we may be in the midst of a storm right now. But you said, you promised that we were going over to the other side. You said that, and we believe it. And I pray, you also said that you wouldn't put more on us than we're able to bear, but you'd make a way to escape. Help us, Lord, to run into our high tower, into our shelter, to spend time with you, to hear your voice, feel your presence. God, bless us today. If there's somebody here that has never received Jesus as Savior, may they call on him today. May they admit that they're a sinner and that they need forgiveness of sins. They need a Savior. And may they ask Jesus to forgive them and give them a home in heaven one day and escape all this judgment. Bless us now, Lord, as we have our invitation, our time of just reflecting, thinking of how good you've been to us and how you can help us in the midst of our storm, or how you can use us to help another person in the midst of their storm. May it be so today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's